On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. It's our number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day as we're off and running. General at your service at ease. There's brought us the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. You have Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and 635. Fixing to go a full five flawless like it's nothing. You do have Eric Chiafalo in the house. Zach Wolchuk, his nosebleed brother, is up there at Cosm. And he'll be joining us, you know, shortly after this game goes final, maybe about 4:30, maybe 5:15, something like that, depending on, you know, penalty kicks and what all this could take to get us some resolution, to get us a result. How we doing today, boys? Everybody good?
Yeah, doing great. Fantastic. Especially after that centipede conversation. You know, it really gets the brain working. I would like to be asked a question like that within 30 minutes of waking up every day. You know, and just really have to work that brain muscle of problem solving. Like that Tola right there that said, put the centipede in a jar, and now you are dominant over the centipede? That's brilliant.
Yeah. You know, centipedes can't swim. Centipedes can't fly. There's a lot of ways around this. And if you have $100 million to play with, you know, we can figure stuff out.
100%.
If that jar idea plays, I think he just solved the riddle.
Nailed it.
Now, I'd love to get a riddle solved for how to get the World Cup game on television.
Okay, I got DJ Pridemore working on it. Medford, apparently, even though you know he's young enough to feel like that guy would be technologically sound, he's not sure about the TVs in here. It is a big mystery box.
So we basically have smart TVs with these apps, but nobody's like leaving their YouTube credentials on. So you got to come in and like log in with your own login.
It's smart TVs with dumb users.
Okay,
and it's like oil and water.
Can we just get some dang cable TV going again here?
Yeah.
Some consistent, you know, content.
I believe we have that as well.
Okay.
Maybe we do have, I'm watching it here on cable right now.
That's what I thought.
So I believe we do have that as well. And hopefully.
We have like these DirecTV remotes over here, but these don't work.
No, nothing seems to work. Let me tinker. Okay. Let me tinker.
Well, Jerry Jones is over there at the stadium. He is in attendance. Jerry Jones at his first World Cup game amongst the storylines as Spain takes on France over there at the stadium. And we'll give you updates if you need them throughout the day. Maybe we'll get some Jerry Jones quotes. It has been a relatively quiet offseason for Jerry Jones. It'd be nice to get his, you know, updated thoughts on what he thinks this team is capable of as we sit just a couple of weeks from training camp now, Brian.
Just a couple of weeks away. I'm interested what Jerry's view of the stadium from basically almost a visitor, right? Kind of You know, this is something, it's not a Cowboys home game, but he's kind of looked at in the soccer world here as a guy who was a part of this. You know, with Dan Hunt and everybody, the host committee and all that, his stadium has been I think this is the ninth match that's been played here. And for him to come, you know, here with France and Spain, I wonder what his view of the stadium is going to be with no glare blowing through the windows and stuff like that. You know, is he going to see it as this is kind of a different look. This is an interesting, you know. Oh, how do they do this? Mm-hmm. Oh, they use curtains. They use this glass. I mean, I just wonder how, as he's taking this all in, as basically kind of a visitor to his own stadium.
Yeah, there is the story that, you know, they're not interested in the natural grass. They're not interested in the tinted windows of their stadium.
But he's interested in all the butts in the seats. That's for sure.
Butts in the seats is good. You know, I'd love to hear from Jerry Jones. I don't think he would reveal anything, but if he was inclined to, as he talked quite a bit at the beginning of this offseason with the bust the budget theme, do you feel like you've done enough for this roster? You know, and are you tried to bring in
the linebacker N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah.
You were in on some other guys. We heard reports that maybe Azeez Al-Shaair was on your radar. You wanted to trade for him. You wanted to trade for Jordan Brooks. What's the plan here with D. Winters? Are we fingers crossed that D. Winters is going to work and you don't need to do something? Are we getting ready to sign a veteran before camp? Do you look at linebacker as the big opportunity to make this defense better now?
I do not. We had this conversation yesterday. Are we putting too much on D. Winters' plate? And we kind of went around the room and had that thought. And I'm to the point where I'm not worried about D. Winters.
It's whoever's next to him.
I'm worried about Overshown. That's who I'm worried about. Because to me, he has yet to prove that he could stay completely healthy. And if you're going to rely on, after watching the Philadelphia Eagles, play run defense with two of their best defensive tackles in the league, and their linebackers having to fight blocks during the game, this is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough situation. You've got two really good defensive tackles yourself. One of them, one of the top five defensive tackles in the league. But I'm worried about Overshown, and I'm worried about his overall health. And until he proves differently, I've made the point on several platforms, and including this one a bunch, I'm going to get Bobby Wagner. If you really want to help this defense, go get Bobby Wagner, because he could clearly come in here and if you're interested in playing with a Mike linebacker that has some physicality, that's got some stoutness to him, some power, and they can get to the ball, can make plays, you could use him as an occasional blitzer. That's a great fit for you right there, if that's how you want to play it. But I think if you asked him, he would think, we'll see. We'll see if we've done enough. But me personally, I think there's still two spots that they could probably adjust before camp and then feel a little bit better about it.
I mean, at corner and edge, I know it's kind of unresolved, but at least you have potential answers in there, right? You drafted Devin Moore. You have Savone Revel. Let's give these guys a shot.
Yeah.
At edge, similar type of deal with the young guy you drafted in Ezeraku, and James Houston's out there. I'm interested to see what he's going to look like. So you have potential options. I would just say at linebacker, you're like hoping for a miracle at this point to get playoff level answers from that second level. By the way, I am a little bit relieved here, Brian, that these young guys, we got 20 somethings and 30 somethings here that can't get the World Cup game on either. You know, just as a burgeoning old dude.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little insecure about that because I always used to pride myself on having the answers for technology.
Yeah.
And you wonder as you get older, here we go.
Yeah.
We got it. Trevor Beck, Trevor the creator, Beck. Trap House Trevor.
Getting the job
coming
done.
Coming in clutch.
Maybe the young guy that we needed.
Maybe the guy who has the most nicknames of anybody here at the station is just doing magical things right now.
Well, he has created harmony for us here once. Oh, and he's going to get it done on the other TV as well. Oh, yeah. Okay. We just needed to change the HDMI. And then the satellite remotes work. See, that's the answer that we needed right there. Thank you, Trevor.
Nice work, Trev.
Scoreless in the eighth minute out there at the stadium. France looking, by the way, to make their third straight trip to the final. Spain looking to get back for the first time since 2010. And France, the -152 favorite. You are the man, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate your work.
Do you feel like, Dawson, being a soccer guy you are, is there any advantage? It's probably a crazy question. Any advantage for either team of this thing being played indoors and not having to deal with the heat? Is there one team that will run better than the others? Is there an advantage of, I know the skill advantage. I'm not going to say it's equal. I think France probably has a better side. By the way, this first time in a long time that we've had 1, 2, 3, and 4 make it in a row.
Yeah, that is cool. I think first time ever.
Yeah.
Top four teams in the semi.
Yeah, top four teams. So I wonder if there's one team that is better, this would suit them better playing indoors and not having to deal with 90-plus degree temperatures.
Yeah, I think that heat could absolutely be a factor.
France has got more depth, right?
They've been. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, Spain has a ridiculous amount of depth as well. So, but for me, I would answer that like if you had to play in heat,
Yeah. These teams have now been in this tournament for a month. Is there a team that was stuck in a more mild climate and would not have built up the heat resistance at this point? I don't know.
I kind of wonder France. I think France was playing on the East Coast quite a bit. Some of them, I might be completely wrong.
It's been hot and humid as hell up there the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just didn't know if, like, to me, you would figure that like, Spain's players, these guys play all over the world. But I just wondered if there was one team of these two that would benefit more from not the oppressive heat that we've seen across the country.
Spain with a free kick just outside the box a moment ago that he just hammered off the wall. Golden opportunity spoiled here for Spain. We'll keep you updated. MLB labor talk is heating up. Commissioner Rob Manfred and interim executive director Bruce Meyer sharing differing views on the level the field advertising campaign, expressing the league's desire for a salary cap within the next CBA. So they're going public with an advertising campaign trying to sway a fan sentiment against the players. The ads have been airing in an attempt to sway public support for MLB's proposed economic system, reads the story here. And they come as the league boasts increased attendance and a general positive vibe about the product. Says, I think when you have a difficult public issue, particularly when the other side of the issue is being very public about what their views are on the negotiation, it's incumbent upon us to keep our fans informed of our view of the world, said Rob Manfred, who is a puppet for the owners.
For sure.
So, Meyer firing back, insisting the league can't have it both ways and declared the sport is in a good place, but also said it needs more fixing, quote, I have watched over the last 2 years the owners, the commissioner's office, trying to convince fans, the consumers, that the product is broken. I think it's perverse. And I don't care. I think the biggest injustice is happening right here is the minimum salary for the young guys is still like $700,000 compared to $60 million. And I think it's the same in football. You know, they just got to this massive gap in player performance. Like, those are the only people I think in this situation that are kind of getting a raw end of the deal, and I'd like to see them taken care of a little bit more. But other than that, that's a small thing. I just care that the games keep being played.
That's it. You don't mind the disparity. You don't mind payroll differences of borderline $500 million.
It's annoying. But
I mean, what if you just raise the salary, like the floor? Where it's like you have to spend more than X amount of dollars.
I'd be fine with that.
And that would close the gap at least a little bit more. Now you still have these teams that will continue to double down and triple down and probably, extend the gap even more.
Yeah.
Right. But in terms of getting your small market teams or your cheap owners to have to come correct in a way that some of them just simply are not doing right now.
Yeah, I there's definitely an interesting discussion to be had, like the economics of it and what would be the overall better revenue situation for the players. Would it be to create a floor so all teams have to spend up to this certain level and therefore we're all making more money? That'd be fine. But I just consider that between the players and the owners. And it's just not interesting. Like, we have training camps coming up. We have an exciting Mavs season with Morez Johnson joining Cooper Flagg. I just don't have any attention span for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I get it. I think if you're a diehard baseball fan of a team that consistently doesn't spend money, I think you care.
Yeah.
You want them to be forced to have to spend more.
Yeah. And you would like a little bit more competitive balance. But heck, maybe you just need new owners, Like, I also think, it's not a bad thing if you have dynasties in sports. It's good for the overall health of it and a great
team. I agree.
And in America, if a guy wants to say, I'm willing to maybe lose money or spend a lot more to guarantee that we have a winner, that's great. I think that's competition. And I guess, sure, I'm approaching this as a neutral, but also the Rangers are fine in this. Maybe that's a reason I don't care, is Ray Davis has shown that he's not always willing to spend a lot of money, as this year he's leaving about $70 million on the table that he could. Mm-hmm. But when they're close, he does. We don't have to worry about that as Rangers fans.
Yeah. It doesn't affect us quite as much, but there are definitely other fan bases throughout the sport that would kill to have a more competitive paid roster.
But, you know, I think the Dodgers are an outlier here with what they've been able to do with the deferred payments.
Yes.
For Ohtani. And there was like a weird rule loophole that I think you explained to me at one time. And I understood at the time, but...
Yeah, I know. It was something with the TV deal that they got and how they have like full ownership of theirs. So they're raking in so much more money compared to the revenue sharing throughout the league.
But the way the CBA was drawn up, like if you eliminated the Dodgers' advantage, I think it's working. I think there's enough competitive balance. Okay, congrats to Cards outfielder Jordan Walker. He hit 6 consecutive home runs in the final to stun the Phillies crowd. They were on their feet cheering, believing Schwarber was about to win it. Walker wins the Derby instead, becomes the first Cardinals player ever to do that. He earned a $1 million prize, which is more than his 2026 salary.
Yeah, when I saw that, I couldn't have been happier for him. Like, yeah, I was happy for him in general just because, I mean, Schwarber is a likable guy, but getting to see the Phillies fans have to take that L after being so loud, and it was fun. I love the way they approached it, where they were just booing everyone not in a Phillies uniform.
Yeah.
But to see them... And it was an all-time comeback. Like, the drama was real.
Yeah.
And then to find out that this guy makes, like, $700K for the year, and now he just got $1 million bonus, how could you not be thrilled? And then, like, seeing his family and his parents there, where everyone is basically against them, and there's, like, 4 people that are cheering for him to actually do it, that was a lot of fun.
So good. They got it right, you know? I don't know if they'll get it right next year, but they did it.
I was just looking at some. Can I circle back on something that we were talking about a little bit earlier? I just want to ask you guys this question. Would you rather have your cable package in line, or would you rather have Shohei Ohtani on your team?
Your cable package online or Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
What do you mean by the cable package thing?
Like you, like what the Dodgers have with like their television package.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, the Yankees, like the Yes Network. Would you rather have that?
Oh, yeah, I'll take the spending power over just one player who eventually will not be good anymore. I'll take the spending power because that, in theory, is in perpetuity.
Yeah, Ohtani was with the Angels. You know, they couldn't get it done because they didn't have the additional spending power.
See, I just was wondering if you had a player like Ohtani, though, like in your say your cable. Okay, I was just thinking if like how much revenue he generates just at the ballpark.
Yeah, he brings in quite a bit
with the tickets and concession. Can you make more money on a daily basis with your? With your player like that, then you the Angels messed it up. The Dodgers obviously are they know how to market this guy.
Well, they get to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
All righty.
Couldn't draw you guys off sides on that one, could I?
No, I mean it's an interesting question, I think it's unique for the Dodgers because they have all
both.
Of Southern California.
They got both. I mean,
you're looking at 25 million people in their viewing audience.
Yeah.
The Rangers have 5 or 6, which is nice, but you know the fact that they have a bigger population than anybody but New York, and they have Ohtani now. It's created an insurmountable advantage, at least for the short term. And it feels worse than even what the Yankees had in the late 90s. We got the top 10 coming up after the champ. Chief, where are you taking Woolchuck's list today?
We celebrate National Mac and Cheese Day by asking, what was your favorite food as a child? 877-881-1053. That's next in the nation.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Spain has taken the lead on a penalty. As they go to the hydration break, Spain leads France 1-0 out there at the stadium. World Cup semifinal segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Top 10 here in just a moment. It's time to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius has your champ.
All right, going for two today at 5:30. Is a former Major League pitcher, former 105.3 The Fan host, and now Texas Rangers TV broadcaster Mike Bacsik. He is willing to do anything for Wyatt Langford to keep him healthy and happy.
Wyatt, what can I do? What can we do as Ranger fans to keep you healthy the rest of this season?
I don't know. I mean, I'm doing everything I can, so that's my goal. I'm going to want to play every single game for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, I'm going to go home and get on my knees for you because, man, do we need Wyatt Lang for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. What an all-time championship glue guy Baskey is, man. I knew Mike was dedicated to the Rangers, as Lucius pointed out yesterday. I also knew he was a man of God, you know? So yeah. I feel for Mike there, you know? It's kind of an awkward moment for him.
Basically, he's a slump buster in a
sense. He is. Yeah. I mean, you got to imagine if players catch wind of this, how they could, you know, take this home with them and say, honey, you know, really like to have a healthy season. Been on kind of a tough run. What do you say?
Been out there throwing catch with Mike Bassett for the past 2 hours, honey. So I'm all sweaty.
It's time now for Wolchuk's Top 10 to 220. Here's the chief of this all podcast. Right.
Wolchuk has told me that it is National Mac and Cheese Day.
Yeah.
Oh, so we have a list of the top 10 foods that are most loved by the kiddos. Mac and cheese has to be up there for the easy thing that you can pivot to when kids are being, oh, I don't want this. I don't want this mac and cheese. Boom. Pretty much always going to get the job done.
Yes, mac and cheese has got to be in this top 10. Ramen has been a big hit.
Yeah, the ramen, as a kid, I was big-time ramen guy.
Lunchables,
yeah,
for the ease of operation.
Definitely.
For me, this is weird. I don't know how I got hooked on these as a kid, and I hate them now, but fish sticks.
Oh, man, that was going to be mine.
Like, really?
Yeah.
As a kid? Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
I was always
asking for
those.
Your mom make a tray of fish sticks, and you can, like, grab three and run off and go play and come back, grab some more.
So
you didn't
good.
Have to sit down and eat the fish sticks. Now, as an adult, like, I haven't had them in a long time, but... Man, that was a point in time I was eating fish sticks with that air fryer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. It makes me feel crunchy.
What are you dipping that in?
It was ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup. Yeah. I think that's the standard.
We get a cocktail sauce going.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And I've been doing, like, fried shrimp in the air fryer quite a bit. But, yeah, as a kid, the fish sticks and...
Cocktail sauce for fish sticks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then butter and honey sandwiches. I got hooked on those, and they were good. It was like toast, you know, but just on regular white bread. My mom really fed my sweet tooth, you know.
Wow. Yeah. So you would just call that lunch just bread,
that was
butter,
lunch.
And honey?
Yeah, bread, butter, and honey. Yeah.
Oh,
it was kind
that
of
is,
a dessert.
That is
it?
Outstanding. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is dessert-like. That was your one seed, Lucius, the fish sticks.
Yeah, that nuggets, you know.
Yeah, we're chicken nuggets.
Yeah, especially if they were shaped like dinosaurs or something. That would always get the people going for sure.
These are all kids' foods, right?
Yeah, just like as a kid, what was your go-to?
Where are corny dogs on this thing?
Oh, yeah, corn dogs should be up there.
Simple to do.
Yeah.
Just heat them up, stick, no plate, no nothing, just grab them and go.
Yeah.
Kind of like the fish stick thing.
Just microwave that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the frozen corn dogs. You can get the corn dog minis as well. Getting a lot of love for the bagel bites. And
that's like the pizza. I was thinking like little individual pizza.
Like the Totino's.
Yeah.
Totino's was probably, it was up there, man. Like Eggo waffles were dominant.
Every morning.
What would you put on? Was it a syrup thing? Or would you go, because I would do it with jelly.
Oh, you really?
Yeah.
No,
I guess that was like my mom.
As your standard?
Yeah, it was just like, here's an Eggo, put some jelly on it, party.
You'd go butter first and then jelly?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds amazing. We would mostly do syrup, but I always felt like the key with the Eggo was microwaving it for about 15 seconds after you put the butter and syrup on there.
So
set
you,
it off.
You toast it?
Yeah, toast it.
Then micro it.
To perfection, yes. And then you microwave it to sort of melt the butter. And it kind of makes the actual waffle just a little bit softer.
Yeah, softens it up a little bit. Okay, I like that. We got David in Hassalett with the Hot Pocket for sure. The Hot Pocket was a go-to. Any like handheld, like you mentioned with the fish sticks there, Lucius, like it's a grab-and-go kind of situation.
Yeah, because my mom always wanted us out of the house.
Okay.
Get it and get out. Tearing like up my that. Place. And you smell like air, whatever that meant.
Yeah, the Hot Pockets are coming in hot. The peanut butter and jelly, of course, is a huge one. You have the 214 Cocoa Krispies mixed with chocolate ice cream. Wow. So you're basically just getting some chocolate ice cream, and then you're, instead of like sprinkles or something, you would put on the Cocoa Krispies. That's actually pretty legendary.
I think I'm going to try that tonight, actually.
Yeah, that's a really good idea right there. The Uncrustable is in the mix here. I mean, PB&J in general, for sure.
What about like the can, like spaghetti? Do people still eat SpaghettiOs and that ravioli Shepherdie things and stuff? Yeah. I know as a kid. That was kind of like
I would eat sleep for bed if somebody poured some SpaghettiOs out. Like, I'm just going to sleep. Don't worry about it.
That was actually like a deal breaker for me in college.
Like spaghetti. How about making your own spaghetti? How about like spaghetti and meatballs for like a kid? Is that a
You broke up with a gal because she tried to serve you spaghetti?
It was just like one. It was like one of the things on the list of like why this can't work out, and okay. It was just like she's eating SpaghettiOs.
Oh,
like as one of her go to. Like she's eating one of those
out
like
of the can, out of the warmed
yes,
up.
Yes, bro. Ooh. I'm like,
oh, really?
I'm like, that is such a turn. Like one of the biggest turnoffs I've ever personally experienced. And you don't you can't plan for that, right? You can't imagine a decent looking girl in college going home to shovel cold SpaghettiOs into her face.
How drunk
are you
was she?
Kidding me?
Was she
this is sober
daily.
Really?
As you've ever been.
This is not like
this is more
this
sober
is
than
not
Kevin
like
Hagelund.
Drank a bunch of shots and we're just
no,
and we're just hammered and we're just desperate.
No, you like see you could write that off. You could write that off a one night ridiculous situation.
You could eat some ridiculous things when you're drunk.
Totally.
Yeah.
But this was just standard eating practices for this girl.
Just open the can and go.
Go, dude.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, diabolical.
That's 4th and 8. We're sending the punt team.
469 with the quesadillas. Yes, huge win. Even as an adult. Like, the quesadilla is one of those things that from childhood, that has stuck with me forever. You cannot go wrong with a good quesadilla.
I made a comment today. Someone was asking me. I said, you know, I always... When people order, I'm always observant of what people order. And I was talking about fajitas today, you know, like, you know, Mexican food stuff. I talk about fajitas. And every time I'm sitting at a table and somebody orders fajitas and I don't, I feel like I got out ordered.
You're filled with regret.
You totally feel like regret when you didn't do it.
You see that guy around in the corner with a steaming plate. You're going,
sizzling,
son
you
of
hear,
a gun.
You're like, man, I just, these beef and onion enchiladas are just not getting it done today.
Okay, so outside looking in here on the list for the best foods from our childhood, you have chocolate chip cookies, you have ice cream, pancakes, waffles, and chicken tenders.
Yeah, chicken tenders.
Right on the outside looking in, that felt like a no-brainer situation for the kiddos. Number 10, they actually have tacos. Because there's like a build your own aspect to that. It can be maybe
like
a little bit fun.
Kids like the crunchy ones or the soft ones.
Ah,
I mean,
crunchy.
We're looking at the crunchy ones.
In my house, I just break them down. I put them in a bowl and just crush them. Right.
So you make
and
like then, a taco salad almost.
Yeah, it's much easier to handle for maybe 6 years old and down.
Okay.
Number 9, you got the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. At 8, you have the grilled cheese.
Yeah, we forgot there about we go.
Forgot about the grilled cheese.
That's an adult. If you do it the right way, that could be a really good meal for an adult.
We have Steph in the 469, Dunkaroos. Dunkaroos?
Is that Dunkin' Donuts kind of thing?
Those little donut thingies?
It's like the cookies with the cream. It's like the cookies on this side and there's cream on another side and you kind of dip your cookies into the cream that's there.
Oh. It's just like the crackers and cheese.
Fantastic.
Yeah, like the crackers and cheese deal with the red little stick.
Loved those.
Same idea, but it's just the dessert style.
Yeah, like icing.
Yeah, those are really, really dominant. At 7, you have the spaghetti and meatballs. But you get a lot of the kids that don't like the marinara sauce. You know, they want like just like butter noodles. At least one of my daughters is built that way. You have the hot dogs at 6, not the corn dog though.
Yeah.
I think that if you put a hot dog and a corn dog in front of a child, I think they're going corn dog 10 times out of 10. Number 5, you have hamburgers. Number 4, you have French fries.
Whoa, hamburgers are 5?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think it's kind of low for a kid's meal. Because Bennett, like, I remember, like, as a kid, it was always like McDonald's and the burger, like a cheeseburger. It was always a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yeah, the cheeseburger is definitely one that my kids will consume.
More than the nuggets or more than the tenders.
Oh, really?
Tenders.
He was a beef guy.
Yeah.
I was a chicken kid up until about maybe eighth grade, and then it's been beef ever since.
Mm. Puberty hit.
Yeah, something happened, dude. At three, you have the mac and cheese. Okay, mac and cheese. At two, you have pizza. Surprised we didn't get more pizza on the list. I mean, you got the pizza rolls, you got the bagel bites,
variations,
Totino's pizza, all that kind of stuff.
We make our own with English muffins, you know?
Oh, would you really?
Put the sauce down, the cheese down, your little pepperonis.
Nice, dude. There's no way this person's being serious in the 817 when they text in Vienna sausages.
That's disgusting.
There's no way.
I hate to say poverty food, but that's poverty food.
Yeah, that is.
If that gump that's on the Vienna sausage, the gel stuff, whatever that is, like to hold it together, and you have to wipe that off before you even consume. Ah, no, absolutely not.
Would you call that gump?
Gump. What is it? Gelatinous
ooze? I don't know.
Ooze. I mean,
goop?
It's like an oily goop.
It's like
glue on that thing. No, Vienna sausage, no.
I think that's the same stuff that gummy bears are made out of, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't like
gummy bears.
I'll
never eat another one again.
I don't eat gummy bears. I will say this, though. Like, the cousin to the Vienna sausage is Spam. And I'm kind of like...
Yeah, you're Spam man.
I will fry up some Spam in the morning for some breakfast, on your flat top and stuff. That's not a bad way to go.
It's still on your grocery list?
What,
you're picking up a can of Spam?
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
I am. And you slice it thin, and you put it in there with some eggs and some hash browns. That's no joking around. I don't think I've ever had it. That's fishing meal right there, fishing breakfast.
Yeah, your doctor is on your ass right now, bro.
Oh, no, the doctor told me I'm fat. Yeah. I mean, he basically did. I mean, he's like, oh, you're kind of fat. You know, I'm like, okay, thanks, doc. Glad I have insurance for you to tell me that, you know?
Well, the number one.
But he's right. He's right. So I'm trying. I haven't done it in a while. I've lost 7 pounds so far.
Yeah, you're killing it.
I'm trying my best. I really am.
Chicken nuggets. Chicken nuggets come in at number one, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Chicken nuggets, all right.
Yeah. Somebody on the fan text was killing it with the beans and weenies, hot dogs and beans.
You know what?
And when you get older, you can cut up that Earl Campbell in that thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The jalapeno sausages.
I'll tell you what. Botch did. Botch Lombardi, I work with too. He did oxtails. He put oxtail in those beans.
Oh, we're living high on the hog.
Yeah, he cooked the oxtails and then shredded it off the bone and put it. I said it's the most expensive beans I've ever tasted.
Living high on the hog.
But I've heard
$25 paid of beans and weenies.
Derek Eagleton. I was talking to Derek Eagleton about it. Derek said, "I'm serious, bro. That's some of the best beans I've ever tasted in my life with those oxtails in it." I usually put like andouille sausage or something like that in my beans. But man, that's good for a Botch doing that.
Yeah, he leveled up. Yeah. A lot of good stuff for Spain right now.
They're playing well.
They're threatening to go up 2-0. Almost did it right there. It is 1-0 right now. 38th minute, they got a corner. We're coming back with a news bag. We have an update on the parasite ravishing our great country next to the name.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation. You're on 105.3 The Fan. Spain leading France still 1-0, 46th minute as the first half is starting to wrap up. We got five things we've learned about the Texas Rangers here at the All-Star break. We'll talk about those things coming up at 3 o'clock. Time now for a news bag with the Chief.
Good news and bad news here at the news desk today, right after this.
You're rolling with the News Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Federal and state officials are reportedly investigating whether Taco Bell lettuce contributed to the major explosive diarrhea outbreak that is ravishing the United States of America right now. Every day, this is starting to be taken more and more serious with the amount of cases that we are seeing. And it is all back to the vegetables we did have as our diarrhea parasite correspondent Lucius Alexander last week informed us all that it is it's like the raw vegetables that are getting people.
Yeah, leafy greens,
stuff like that. And it's unfortunate because coming off of a vacation, I need a little bit more natural fiber in my life, if you pick up what I'm putting down here.
For sure. Yeah.
So now I'm looking, do I go dried prunes here? Do I go frozen veggies? Cooked veggies?
Yeah, I think you got to cook them. I think that's the big thing there. I don't know about the frozen ones, like if you're getting like frozen berries or something like that, because it is on the fruits as well, but I think the vegetables are where people are getting got in a bigger way. So you had Taco Bell last week removing all of their the lettuce and the pico de gallo and all that kind of stuff off their menu, and maybe that was them trying to get ahead of it. I don't know how that you could blame Taco Bell for this, though. Like, it's not like they were knowingly doing
this. No, it was just in their supply chain.
Exactly.
Somebody else's fault. Why can't you test for this? Why isn't it mandatory to be testing for this before you ship it out to the grocery stores and the restaurants? Hopefully we can create some sort of regulations and standards that actually work for the American consumer here. Now, I am...
for the people, man.
I am, like, wondering how big of a threat is this right now. I saw that there was some sort of infectious disease doctor that's advising folks to avoid it, even if washed. You know, steer clear of produce right now. There's only like 3,000 cases, right? Or has this exploded?
No, I think 3,000 is the latest number that I've seen. So, but it just keeps going up. Like, it's a couple of hundred cases just a few weeks ago, and then now it's ballooned to 3,000. And it apparently takes, you know, like, it can take like 10 to 12 days before you even realize it. That's part of the problem.
We might have a ticking time bomb situation.
Yeah, and that's why it took them so long to figure out kind of like, what is this coming from? Because it's not something, oh, I just ate this and now I'm sick. I put two and two together. I know what got me. This is like, you're walking around willy-nilly like everything's fine, and then 10 days later, you get stricken with all-time bubble guts, fevers, the nauseas, all that. And so you've had, no one's died from it. And you have had some people go to the hospital because of it, but it does seem like, and I haven't seen any like personal testimonies. You know, I haven't seen anybody like hop on the TikTok and be like, hey, so here, I got by it. You know,
yeah, I did see like 80 people are in the hospital.
Yes.
You know, that seems pretty manageable.
For sure.
You know, and if worst case scenario is you have diarrhea for a week and you got to like take some IVs or something, it's not that bad. You know, but it does sound incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely.
Diarrhea for a week sounds awful, bro.
Yeah.
And IVs to the point where I need IVs. Not to mention on the chapping that happens back there when you're wiping and whatnot.
Yeah, see, that's the disaster.
Before
sure.
I had a bidet, you got to like fold up some tissue paper and put it back there. Walk around with tissue paper in your cheeks.
Oh, no. You got to buffer that thing?
Yeah.
That's a disaster,
dude wipes,
too.
Those dude wipes help a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great month for dude wipes.
Yeah, it helps.
I think it'd be a pretty good bet payoff if, like, we had to eat nothing but salads and fruits for the next 2 weeks.
That's what I do.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all I do right now. I'm doing that right now.
Yeah, but you're not eating raw veggies, right? Like, you're cooking the parasites out of them, right?
I'm just washing the lettuce and all, you know, I'm just...
Okay, you need to stop. You need to stop doing that.
I've been doing it for 2 weeks now.
And I'm getting my ass hammered.
All it takes is one, dude. All it takes is one. I would encourage you.
I kind of look at it as maybe some more weight loss.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Nah, I'm with that.
You know?
Yeah. Sure, that's a silver lining.
I do appreciate the flow.
The colonoscopy, if they said, hey, what's a quick way to lose like 10 pounds? That colonoscopy thing, like, because that thing cleans you out.
Yeah, but you're not getting the fever and the nausea. I mean, no, it's going to be the sweats.
But
yeah.
Your body feels hot and cold. No, your body feels great because you're lighter.
I don't know about that, dude.
No.
I do not know about that. Now, HEB.
Listen, you think, like, I'm going to, okay, I shouldn't tempt fate like that.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, tempt it.
Like, we've had, like, bet payoffs of the stuff that I've consumed, and I haven't, like, gone to the ground yet.
No, you do. You do have the most impressive immune system out of anyone that I personally
know. He's got a trucker's gut. Yeah.
I mean, he drank a beer out of my sweaty sauna sneaker like 5 years ago.
Insane.
Nothing. No problem.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. And now, no gag reflex either.
No, just took it like a champ.
Yeah.
I think he kind of liked it. The HEB Twitter account is saying,
your favorite place, HEB.
None of our suppliers have reported issues with the parasite to date. Produce sold at HEB is safe, and we continue to closely monitor the situation. So if you trust HEB enough, maybe you could go get some lettuce from them.
Yeah, and none of the other grocery stores are like pulling their stuff off the shelves, right? That's when you know the risk is big.
I think this is a big scare.
Because the lawyers aren't involved yet with big food. They're not like, guys, our ass is on the line. We got to get this stuff out of the stores. If it's in the store, I'm buying it, and I'm eating it, you know? Because the alternative is constipation, you know? So I'm weighing those two. In one hand, I have guaranteed constipation. On the other hand, I have like a 1 in 10,000 chance of getting explosive diarrhea. You know,
it's a risk you're willing to take.
I think the numbers are in my favor still.
Well, there is a new pair of poo shoes if you need it. We know the Squatty Potty. Lucius, you've been
I love it. I just hate the fact that it makes so much noise rubbing against the ground down
there. Oh,
everybody knows what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Dad's about to poop.
So you have to drag it over?
I drag it over my feet sometimes after I sit down there, drag it, get the nice, comfortable position.
So it elevates your game?
Yeah, it does.
It does. It's brings your knees up is really the key. You need your knees to be up. So there's a new company that is coming out with a more, I guess, just what they're describing
as I have another question for Lucius.
More stylish way of doing it, and they're poo shoes. These are giant stilettos is basically what they
are. Like the dunking shoes they used to sell in East Bay Magazine, but for pooing.
Yeah. These are grumping shoes. So you could buy a pair of those if you want to look a little bit more stylish while you're handling business.
This is Squatty Potty with Lucius when
you walk out the bathroom with the stiletto shoes on, you look great.
Asking for some TP, somebody.
Yeah. Lucius, when you do the Squatty Potty thing and you do your 25 minutes of sitting there, do your legs fall asleep?
Well, I sit there longer than that, and it falls asleep. Sometimes that right when I have to drag it out of there, I sit there longer than that, though.
Yeah, I just didn't know if the Squatty Potty helped the circulation.
I sit there
until
that shaman disappears. All right, come on out of here.
Hey, good news for you today. If you have the ability to make yourself look like a cow, you could show up to Chick-fil-A and get a free entree. Part of the chain's 80th anniversary celebration.
Just naturally just walk in there.
Yeah, that's a large individual.
Well,
is that all I got to do?
Give me some food.
Eat more chicken.
Big win for the furries out there. I mean, you know there's somebody that has a cow suit.
They were made for this day.
Yeah.
He's making a lap around DFW right now, hitting every Chick-fil-A on the map.
You also have the never-ending pasta pass coming back to Olive Garden.
Do you think Will Chuck would put on a suit? Do you think he'd pass out in this heat if you're walking around in a furry suit?
I think anybody would.
Oh, yeah. He's not built for that. The never-ending pasta pass is coming back to Olive Garden. Okay, this went away for many, many years, but there are 10,000 passes up for grabs starting at 1 p.m. Central Time on Thursday. At pastapass.com. It's $100 and you can just eat as much Olive Garden as you want for an extended period of time.
Wow.
I did this not too long ago. A few months ago. Olive Garden, not terrible. Terrible.
I enjoy a good Olive Garden trip.
You know what? It's the salad's good.
Good breadsticks.
The breadsticks are good. The lemonade's good.
I mean, why don't you just find the closest Joe's Pasta and Pizza in your neighborhood before going to Olive Garden?
It's Olive Garden.
Is it offensive to your Italian roots?
I've had some bad experiences there. The breadsticks, the salad, if that's your jam, they got you covered.
I'll tell you what.
Everything else is really half-assed.
The gnocchi soup was good.
They're doing $100 pasta passes to get people back in the store.
I think you're right. Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
Right. Got to run.
Yeah, sure we do.
C-Note coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll get you latest Cowboys headlines. Five things we've learned about your first place Rangers coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.